Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. Wow. Another week. Talking with TD, I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Got Elijah Campbell back there making it work. We just continue to keep rolling these weeks out, man. It's week four already. I tell you, once the season starts, it's like you blink your eyes and guess what? It's December. And that's kind of how it's rolling. So let's take each opportunity we can to just slow it down and enjoy the moment. Take it all in because we are blessed to be able to watch this wonderful game that we call football. It's a Titans win. They are now 2-1. The Indianapolis Colts came to Nashville, and it was a game that was a bit closer than a lot of people had expected. I honestly had to score a little bit more lopsided. Well, no. I had it, what, 24? I think it was 28-17 is what I had. So a little bit more lopsided, right? 11 points instead of 9. But still, I think when you look at a division game like that, a hobbled Carson Wentz or not, but before we even get, shout out to Carson Wentz, man. I don't know what they put in that guy's body. It's funny because I bet you he got a Toradol shot, right? But he won't get the vaccine. I'm just saying.
Which are two totally completely, like Toradol's some strong stuff, right, man.
And you don't always know exactly what's in that either, but hey, that's a different conversation. But nevertheless, for him to play, I think that's, you know, worthy of a shout out. He wasn't exactly the most effective, and you saw that pass rush getting after him. So I guess, you know, that's where we'll start. But before we get into that, let's also introduce our guests, right? We got Chris Sanders coming on, Run TMC. We'll have that segment. And we got Rich Cimini, ESPN NFL Nation Jets reporter. So we'll get into that. I'll wrap the show up with him. But let's get with this pass rush, right? And I think Harold Landry is where I want to start. And he had a sack, but so many pressures. Like, that guy is coming off of that edge. That fastball is working. It's definitely working. And I saw a couple other times they looped him inside. He played all of the snaps defensively. I mean, I don't think we're talking enough about how much of an Iron Man this guy is, right? And giving him enough credit for taking that licking and keep on ticking because – you know, he just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And when have you ever seen Harold Landry on the injury report? I don't recall seeing him there. Obviously, you would like to get more sacks from him, but he's still being a consistent player, and he was getting that pressure. But the guy I really, really want to focus on, you know who it is. Ola Adeyemi. Lord have mercy. And this goes back to training camp. I remember just – first off, let me say this. Before training camp, when I did my roster projection, I had him grouped with the inside linebackers. Like, I thought he was going to be grouped with them. Here he is, outside linebacker, special teams dynamo. Yes, definitely. But good Lord, that dude was getting pressure after pressure after pressure. There was one play where he just forklifted Eric Fisher back to the quarterback and got the sack. I mean, 6'1", 248, and you're doing that to 6'5", 3, whatever Eric Fisher is, man. That is the Elvis Dumervil stuff that I be talking about. Because when you have a guy like that, and he's fast off the edge, yes. But because he's only 6'1", and the way he could bend and condense his body, it just makes it so much tougher for these tackles to deal with him. And that's what you're seeing. And when you do that, and you bend and you get them off balance and you get up underneath them. That's why I use the term forklift, because that's exactly what he's doing, man. Winning that leverage game. Ola Adeyemi is fun to watch. He's fun to be around too. Like, he was one of those guys where during training camp, like, you just watch him the whole practice and just appreciate his energy. You appreciate his excitement and just the way he attacks. And it's refreshing to see him be able to take this over to the field defensively and stand out. 1.5 sacks. He's leading the team with 2.5 sacks on the year. By the way, he had basically the I'm not going to say game ender, but like he really had a big assist in ending the game against the Seahawks 2 weeks ago. Excuse me. 2 weeks ago with the save, the sack on Russell Wilson. But, man, he had another sack taken away, right? So he could have had 2.5 sacks on the day, but he had another one taken away. Chris Jackson had the illegal contact. But I just think Ola Adeniyi, he's worthy of a mini rant because it's a pleasant surprise. I don't care what Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, Shane Bowen, or Ryan Crowe say. No one expected this dude to come in and have this impact, and it's right on time. You hear me? Not on time. It's right on time. Because why? Bud Dupree, he didn't play any snaps this past game. And I remember watching him during pregame, and you could really tell, like, he still has it's like watching the Clydesdale, right, that just has a wounded leg, and it just has, like, a little bit of a gait, altered gait. And that's what you're seeing watching him warm up and do the different things. So I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, right? Because remember, it's what? So January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're looking at 9 months. I didn't expect to get a total impact from him for the first four games anyway. So getting this surprise impact from Ola Adeniyi is definitely helping. But then at the same time, what's up with Derek Roberson? It just seems like this guy continues to be hurt time and time again. And it's unfortunate because there's so much promise with him. There's so much promise, but you can't really hit your wagon to number 50 because there's constant injuries, constant. And now he's on IR. So he's out for at least 3 weeks. You know what's left for these? I mean, you got Ola Adeniyi. You got Harold Landry.
Don't have Rashad Weaver.
You don't have Rashad Weaver. You got Bud Dupree. Now, granted, they did sign Sharif Finch. Old friend coming back. As soon as I saw that, I had to text him, hey, welcome back, brother. And, it's good to see him back with the Titans. He is on the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the active roster on game day, if they elevate him. But then you have Giant Simon. That's another guy they're going to have to look at. I mean, I don't know where Wyatt Ray is, but he's someone that I would look at. Tuzar Skipper. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there that, yeah, okay, they may not be instant impact guys, but at this point, like, you need bodies. Like, you can't go into a game with two and a possible. That's really what you're looking at, two and a possible when you have Dupree as the third option. It's two and a possible because you never know, how that response is going to be for the knee to whatever game action he has. So you need to pad up that position, and that's something I would expect for them to continue to address. We'll see how Sharif Finch gets back in the mix. But, man, overall, I think the defense had a solid performance. Jonathan Taylor, 10 carries, 64 yards. I thought it was interesting that Frank Reich said that they did some things that weren't expected, which forced the Colts to get out of the run. I really want to know, and you'll never find out, what it is exactly that wasn't expected. But I do think that Jeffrey Simmons playing well, Danico Autry playing well, David Long playing out of his mind. Dane, did you see that blitz Dane Cruikshank had?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. He blew up Jonathan Taylor. Lord have mercy. So he played well also. I don't know. I didn't recognize like anything like completely different from what the Colts have seen before or what I've seen from the Titans before. But whatever it was, it made them get away from a guy getting 6.4 yards per carry. Hey, if I'm the Titans, I take that all the time.
It's gonna be that's a tip of the cap to Shane Bowen, though, isn't it? I mean, pretty much what Frank Reich said was these guys were so unpredictable to the point where we had to scrap our game plan
yeah.
because they threw something at us that we were not prepared for. In a league in which every game is predicated on how well you prepare for what the other team is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, with as much, I guess, talk about the defense last year, who's responsible for the defense, who's calling plays, who's game planning. I mean, Shane Bowen's been on the brunt end of a lot of vitriol from Titans fans, and think this was a good, this is probably his best showing in terms of being prepared, and also the best ringing endorsement I think he's had from anybody since he got into this job.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is worthy of being pointed out, and I think when you look at just the expected game plan, it's like, all right, look, you have a hobbled quarterback, you have a big-armed, inaccurate quarterback, and then you have a journeyman. The game plan is going to be to run the football. And they only had 87 yards net rushing. That's doing a lot. 178 passing. So they definitely held their own. I think there's a couple things that we have to point out for this defense, right? The third downs have been such an area of for improvement, an area of pain when fans are watching this game, when coaches are watching this game, when players are playing this game. The Colts were 3 out of 12 on third down opportunities. Now, granted, so that's 25%, so that's half of, you know, what the bad standard has been for this team, but 2 for 2 on fourth down. So, yeah, it is a lot to notice, you know, as far as the progression is concerned, but you still had the problems on fourth down. I think another thing that you have to look at is the red zone efficiency, right? And this is something I asked Mike Vrabel because I was really curious. When you look at this Colts team, they were not only in the red zone, they were in the low red zone. So we're talking about inside the 10-yard line. They were inside the 10-yard 3 times, and they scored once. 33% red zone efficiency. I mean, that low red zone efficiency, too, that is big. And Mike Vrabel, he said it really came down to he pointed out Breon Borders, actually, the two plays that he made, both of which were, I mean, the guy had 3 snaps, 2 pass breakups. I don't know that you could, you know, make more efficient use of your opportunities than that, but that was definitely a solid thing, seeing that from him. So defensively, you know, I wanted to focus so much on the defense because I think they had a really a solid performance, a bounce-back performance. As far as the offense is concerned, you know, Westbrook Ikhine, he seemed to have stepped up. The fumble, you don't want that fumble, right? But that kind of – that's what happens when you fight too much for extra yards, and you can't really knock the man for fighting for extra yards. You got to just wrap that thing up. And I believe it was Rocky Sin. Yeah, Rocky Sin ripped it out, and he recovered the fumble. I mean, can't have that. But one thing you can have is catching a slant and dragging a guy into the end zone or drawing a pass interference call way down the field and getting setting up another touchdown. So I see those things as some good things on Westbrook Ikhine's part. Jeremy McNichols had the touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, I think one of the decisions was really bad. The interception where he was going to either Hudson or McNichols, neither of those guys. Like, you shouldn't have both of those guys in the same area like that. So something wasn't right. But then the other one kind of bounced off of Rodgers, and it was intercepted. So, yeah, there's some mistakes to be cleaned up. I this whole situation with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, I mean, neither of those guys practiced on Wednesday. That's something to monitor, especially like from a fantasy perspective. I actually did a video after the game, the Colts game, just kind of giving a preview of what's probably going to happen this week, where these guys probably won't practice and they probably won't play. So I was saying, if you have them in your lineup, definitely monitor these practice reports, because it's very likely that you're going to have to, you know, start somebody else. So definitely check your waiver wire. But I think not having those guys is definitely going to put a lot on some of these other players, right? Chester Rogers, Josh Reynolds, he was inactive in that game. And I saw him out there trying to, you know, test out the Achilles. He's not listed on the injury report or anything. So it, in my opinion, was a healthy scratch. I believe he'll be active, and he should be a bigger part of that game plan. So we'll see how that works. This is a good opportunity for Reynolds. it's a good opportunity, you know, coming into this Jets game. So, like I said, you probably won't see Jones and Brown. That's not something that you want to have as far as the situation, but it is what it is. Fortunately, you're going against a Jets team that is very beatable. You never underestimate the opponent, though. So we'll see how this one works out. I definitely believe that it's an opportunity for the Titans to continue to stack these wins, you know, get on a streak, three in a row here, rolling into Jacksonville, and then you got the Bills on Monday night. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Going to go ahead and go to a break, pay these bills. We'll come right back with Chris Sanders, Run TMC. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah. As I stir the coffee. Okay, here we go. Back from the break, talking with TD. You know what time it is. It is that segment, Run TMC. As the music dims, you hear the lights go down. And now, starting for your Houston Rockets at point guard, number 10, John Lucas.
And now, the welterweight champion of the world, Leon Speaks.
Oh, man, Leon Speaks. Man, you know, you ever think, real quick, Leon Speaks, you remember that game Track and Field for Nintendo? Didn't he look just like those dudes on there?
Absolutely, man. He had one tooth and tried to bob for apples.
How you doing, man?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm chilling. That's the way this change of weather has affected my sinuses and allergies. That you can't win. Soundbite is just perfectly
the best.
Yeah, man, it applies to that. But what's going
Absolutely.
On?
Man, I'm good, man. Just chilling, man. We had a big win last week again with the Big Red. Watched the Tennessee Titans play, man. What'd you think about that game, man?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dogfight, as we thought it would be. And when you have that physical style of play and a division game, those are always close. And here we have it, you know, and it's interesting because they won by 9 points. And
right.
You have Christmas being canceled by some people who, you know, they think that, hey, well, they didn't win by enough. Look, man.
Stop it.
A win is a win. They got that victory. Obviously, there are some things to clean up. The turnovers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not having Julio Jones and A.J. Brown down the stretch. That has to be cleaned up.
But you know what's so funny, man? You know, the Tennessee Titans have a good problem. Remember at the beginning of the season, everybody was worried about how many receivers they were going to keep.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad they kept a lot of those receivers? Because they would definitely be in trouble.
So you're right. And on Wednesday, Marcus Johnson returned to practice.
Absolutely.
That's not to say that he'll definitely be activated for the game on Sunday, but that is still a good sign. And if he is activated, then that's another weapon there for you. But you talk about receivers and guys they kept. Well, there's one guy that they didn't keep, and he goes by the name of Corey Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually said that they didn't make any attempt to retain him. And he was asked if that bothered him, and he said a little bit. Now, Corey Davis saying a little bit, it's like you and I saying, yo, I'm mad as heck. Because, you know, just getting that out of him is a lot. So what do you make of those comments?
You know, he's upset. Just imagine, put yourself in Corey Davis' shoes. You kept quiet the whole season. Everybody's talking how bad you did. You almost get 1,000 yards. and you want to be a part of this team. You've done everything right, TD. You've done everything right. There's no people. Even when he was struggling a little bit, you know, he still felt like he can go out there and still make plays. Then all of a sudden, you go to free agency, and the team that you want to be with, the team that you build with, the guys that you want to be around, they don't want to sign you? Oh, he's mad. He's mad. I mean, he's really mad. I mean,
I'm mad.
I was thinking about that. But wouldn't you be upset, too?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a feeling of rejection that you're getting there. So, excuse me, man. I'm getting all choked up about it.
I know. I'm crying. It's just kind of like this. Just imagine you're going to ask a pretty lady to dance. And you say, yeah, you want to dance? She's like, nope. I mean, you would be upset. So
absolutely. So one of the other things you said that, because you look at the way these games have started, right? Week one. Right. Everybody was like, oh, Corey Davis, watch out now. Five receptions, 97 yards, two touchdowns against the Panthers, and he did his thing, and he was clearly, you know, that guy that right. Zach Wilson was looking for. But then week two against the Patriots, it simmered down, and last week against the Broncos, it was a little bit better, but still right. Five receptions, 41 yards. There were opportunities for him, you know, going back right. And watching the game. There were some opportunities, but – you know, they did some different things to trick Zach Wilson, and he had two interceptions in that game. And one of the things I thought was interesting that Corey Davis said was he's now seeing coverages more geared towards stopping him, and that's not something that he saw in the past. And ironically, you look at last year, he had that season that he had, all the coverage and the protect the – you know, everything was – it was going towards A.J. Brown, right? And
right.
That was the whole thing about Corey Davis in the scheme. Wow, this is a great opportunity for him to eat against one-on-one coverage because you're seeing so much being devoted to stop A.J. Brown. And lo and behold, Corey Davis was able to really do his thing. Now he's put in a situation where I don't think he's going to see one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, but see, now he wants to become that elite receiver. I mean, look at like Antonio Brown, look at like a Jerry Rice or Randy Moss. They understood how to beat double coverage because if you look at the Jets, what receiver scares you? Corey Davis. So what a defensive coordinator is going to do is try to take you out the game. So now if he wants to go to the next level and he wants to improve and be one of the top receivers in the league, he's got to understand what the defense is doing. Are they playing cover two? Are they playing a bracket? When I say a bracket, you got a guy underneath. You got a guy over top. You got to understand who you got to beat. So once he takes that giant step of understanding how to beat guys and that's doubling them, I think he can be one of the best receivers in the league. This is my opinion.
And that's the thing. He's going to have to expect that even more because you have Elijah Moore who is going to be kind of week to week with a concussion, uh-huh. right? So he's probably not going to play this week. Jamison Crowder is coming back, but you got Denzel Mims who has just been – it's been a bad situation with him. Jeff Smith, number 16, he got into a car accident, so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with him this weekend. So it's really going to be a matter of you stop Corey Davis, you stop the passing game.
Absolutely. And then there's another receiver that's got more catches than him and more yards than him is Braxton Berrios. Berrios. So he's leading in yards and stuff like that. So you better believe Corey Davis is going to get double because he opposes a bigger threat than anybody else. Because the list that you just named of the receivers, which guy scares you?
None of them.
I mean, there's nobody scare you. So what they can do is just go put, you know, Chris Fulton on Corey Davis and just play ball.
Yeah, frankly, that's what I would do. I would just play sides, man. I would say, you know, I'll take Jackrabbit or Fulton against Corey Davis. But one of the things that they do with Corey Davis is bump him inside. There were multiple times where he had that cut split, you know, where he was just barely detached from the tackle, almost playing tight end, you know what I mean? And they let him run routes that way. So it'll be interesting to see the way they move him around and try to take advantage of that. But as far as the rushing attack or anything there, is there anything that you feel worthy to point out with that rushing attack? I don't, but, you know.
Not at all. I mean, this team doesn't really scare me at all, but the only thing that really scares me is the Jets are listening to all the chatter. They're talking about their offensive coordinator. They're talking about their head coach. They're talking about this whole situation or this whole plan that they're coming up with is a mess. So you don't think they're going to come out fired up? You got Corey Davis that wants to prove to himself, or not prove to himself, but prove to the Tennessee Titans that you should have never let me go. That's what I'm afraid of. But on this roster, there's not too many guys that, that make me afraid. You know what I'm saying? And I say that in a respectful way. Yeah, you got Zach Wilson. If you look at what he's done, he's going. He only has two TDs, and that's to Corey Davis, and he has seven interceptions. He doesn't scare you. The running attack doesn't scare you. And also those receivers that you just named, there's nobody that scares you.
So what about defensively? Bryce Hall is a guy, I remember him coming out of Virginia. You know, a lot of people were really, really high on him, and he's one of the starters. And you got Brandon Echols. I mean, neither one of them pop out to me. I remember Javelin Guidry out of Utah. He was a guy that actually I talked to on Talking with TD. He's one of their reserves as well. But I don't really see anything in the secondary to be concerned with. Do you think that even without A.J. Brown – and Julio Jones, this team can pass the ball on the Jets?
Absolutely. I mean, I really do. I mean, there's no cornerback just like what you named, like with Bryce Hall. I mean, he's okay. He's decent. But I think the receivers that we have are better than their defensive backs. But there's one thing I'm kind of concerned about. I just don't want the offensive line to really get lax, because the defensive line is not bad at all. I mean, you have Quincy Wilson, you have Quinnen Williams, and you have Sheldon Rankin. So, you know, that defense still can put a little pressure and cause mistakes, because if you look at the Tennessee Titans, what's been the Tennessee Titans' Achilles heel? Is Tannehill get hit, fumbled, or interception?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you get something like that, a turnover or a pick six or a scoop and score, then it puts the Jets in position to say, you know what, even though we don't have the firepower on offense and even though we don't have the secondary, we still can make plays because Tannehill's been coughing up the ball.
Yeah, and I think that's really what it is, just having that pressure, right? And even you mix in Shaq Lawson as well. I mean, Mike Vrabel, I think it was him just a little bit talking up the opposition, but he said that this is one of the best fronts that they'll face. Now, I'm not sure I would go that far, but Quinnen Williams is a very disruptive guy. And then you mix that with Sheldon Rankins and those guys, you know, pushing that middle. Mm-hmm. We've seen what that interior pressure has done to the Titans before. Yeah. And we've seen how that has made it very difficult for them to run the football. But nevertheless, this is a week I think you really rely on Derrick Henry and just let him just continue to truck away, because you're not going to have your weapons in the passing game. I think it's very important to this week run to set up the pass, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and I think for the Tennessee Titans, and I know this sounds like co-stark or cliches, but they have to start fast. You cannot give this team life. You got a team that's licking their wounds, a team that is unsure of themselves. And if you go out there and get a three and out, they score. You get another three and out, they score. You throw an interception or a fumble, you're gonna see a team that looks terrible to look like world beaters, because you had a chance to bury them and you didn't. That's the only thing I'm concerned. I think, in my opinion, I think we're gonna go down there and blow them out. But I think that if the Tennessee Titans don't start fast and click on all cylinders, it could be a tough day.
Right. You have to do that right from the start. And that's what they should have done against the Colts. And that's why that game was close, because they had opportunities, but they didn't do it. You can't do that on the road.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. Run TMC. Chris, I appreciate you.
Yeah. We'll
get back next year. Oh, score prediction. Like, score prediction.
You still like, oh, you want me to go score prediction? I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Tennessee Titans 35, the Jets 7. There's just no firepower on offense. I'm sorry.
You got him walking the dog on him.
Walking the dog, man.
Did you watch Whiteboard Wednesday?
Dude, it was off the chain, man. You look like Shabba Ranks. So
like, you couldn't even give me Mad Cobra? You know, flex all time.
I actually saw, man. You did good. I like the way you talked about what Corey Davis was going to do when he was lined up at the, I think it was the number two position when there was a 3-by-1.
Yeah. And I think
really good.
I think that'll give them an opportunity to get an interception, and that will help make it that 35-7 score.
There
I appreciate you, man.
Always, my man.
All right.
All right, hero.
This is Corey Davis, and you talking with TD.
Of intelligence, life is defined. I think of crime when I'm in a New York state of mind.
So there you have it. You have the Corey Davis intro, a possible Corey Davis revenge game. No better way to tackle this whole situation than dial up my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, Rich Cimini, covering the Jets. Rich, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is pretty cool. It's great to be with you, Teron.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We don't get to talk shop enough, so I definitely appreciate you coming on. And I guess we should start right with the Corey Davis situation. You got to speak to him today. How was he as far as just addressing the whole opportunity to go against his old team?
Yeah, I thought Corey handled it really well. He was very honest. Someone asked him point blank, did the Titans want to re-sign you? And he said, no, sir. And then someone said, did that bother you? And he goes, a little bit, I'm not going to lie. And then he went on to say, you know, this is a business, and he understands. And he said there's not really any redemption on his mind. And look, the Jets are 0-3. They have bigger things right now than the Corey Davis revenge game. They got so many issues going on. But, you know, I think, look, we know how athletes are. I'm sure in the back of his mind he would really, really want to have a big game to prove a point.
Absolutely, because when you look at these guys, they're the ultimate competitors. For sure, he wants to have a big game. With him and Zach Wilson, just that relationship, right? When you have a veteran receiver, you have a rookie quarterback, I would imagine he'll tend to look to him a little bit more. Is that kind of what you're picking up just as far as how things are working offensively?
Yeah, he definitely, he's his go-to guy. I mean, you saw it in week one. They had two touchdown passes late in the game against Carolina. And so, yeah, he looked to him a lot, probably too much. The Jets really don't have a legitimate number two option right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons why he leans heavily on Corey. And Corey admitted today that, you know, teams are covering him a little bit differently this year. There's no A.J. Brown here in New York, so so it's not quite the same dynamic that it was in Tennessee. He's probably getting more attention from different pass coverages than he has been in the past, and maybe that's why his last couple of games haven't really been too productive.
A good example of what you mentioned as far as point, just like forcing the ball to him, the Justin Simmons interception. Corey Davis was in the slot. He ran like a curl kind of route, and I mean, it just, he locked in on him and Simmons just swooped in and picked it off. So that's a good example there. But when you look at this whole wide receiver position, Denzel Mims, I mean, I remember him coming out of Baylor. This was a guy that was supposed to be a really good receiver. He was a second round pick, and he's just kind of been just erased. I mean, he wasn't even active last week, I don't think. What's been the situation with him?
Well, Denzel Mims has been inactive. He's been a healthy scratch the last two games, and he played only three snaps in the opener. And you're right, he's basically disappeared. It's like he's in the witness protection program now. And, you know, I just don't think the coaching staff trusts him out there. He's a talented player. He's 6'3". He runs a 4.3. He showed flashes last year as a rookie of being able to stretch the field. I've heard everything from that, you know, his route running needs work. He doesn't play special teams, so they, you know, it's hard to carry him on the game day roster. But he actually could dress on Sunday. Elijah Moore is highly unlikely to play. He's got a concussion.
Yeah.
And just today, their number five receiver, Jeff Smith, was involved in a car accident on the way to the facility, and he suffered a concussion. So they're down two receivers, and I think, you know, by the process of elimination, I think there is a chance that Mims could dress on Sunday. I won't say for 100% sure, but there is a chance.
There is a chance. And what about Jameson Crowder? I would imagine he's likely to be back. He was limited on Wednesday, but is that, you see him as a possible return?
I do see him playing, Teron. You know, he's going to be probably, he's been out for 3 weeks. He's had this nagging groin injury, but he was out at practice today. I do think he will, unless there's a setback of some sort, I do think he'll be on the field for the first time this season on Sunday.
What has really just led to the whole, just the ineptness on offense? I mean, you mentioned Corey Davis pretty much being, you know, the only option in the passing game, but what about the rushing attack? I mean, I thought Carter was going to be a guy to have an impact. What are you seeing on this rushing attack that's just making it so terrible?
How long is your show? I mean, we could go on and on about that. I mean, they're not just bad. They're historically bad right now. They only have 20 points in three games. It's tied for the fewest in franchise history through three games. Nothing's going right. Basically, they're struggling with the running game. You know, the offensive line has really struggled in the run game. Zach has been, he's been sacked 15 times. He's been hit, I think, 20 or 25 times. And the pass blocking has been mediocre. And a lot of that is on Wilson as well. He's holding the ball too long, as rookies tend to do. He's not in rhythm with the rest of the offense. So that, and he's getting hit a lot. I fear for his safety. he's not a big kid, as you know.
Right.
So he's not going to make it through 17 games at this rate. And the receivers, you know, Elijah Moore has not, he's a rookie. So, you know, they put a lot on his plate. He started from day one and he has not been able to gain separation and get open. So it, just a million different reasons why their offense is really, really struggling right now.
Interesting tidbit. You mentioned there not being an A.J. Brown there with the Jets. Well, I tell you, leading up to the draft, Brown said that Elijah Moore is actually better than him. So there you have it. I mean, I think that was just a little, you know, shouting out your friend and former teammate. But, hey, man, if he says it, then that's interesting. Now, let's flip it to the other side of the ball, right? Because, I mean, one of the best defenders on the team now is probably going to be out. You got Marcus May. Reports are 3 to 4 weeks. What happens in the secondary if he's not there?
Yeah, so basically their starting safeties are out because LaMarcus Joyner is out for the year, and Marcus May will be out for, you know, about a month. And that's new information that just came out very recently. So, yeah, their secondary is in a bad way right now. Their corners are very, very young. You know, Brandon Echols is a rookie. Bryce Hall is a second-year player. Mm-hmm. They've actually played pretty well so far. But now without Marcus May was kind of the stabilizing force back there. So now I don't even know who they're going to play. I mean, they're picking guys off the practice squad left and right. So I think that'll be a huge opportunity for Tennessee to take advantage of that. And so that's a big loss for them. And, of course, the biggest loss was in training camp when they lost Carl Lawson for the year. Just an unfortunate situation, a torn Achilles. He was going to have a good year. He was really dominating in training camp, and so they lose their best edge rusher.
Yeah, that's something else. And then you look at C.J. Mosley. You know, he was another big signing a few years ago, and that just hasn't seemed to get on track. What's the latest with him? Is he just kind of like finishing out the contract and ready to move on? Or
no, I think he's doing well, actually.
Okay.
I think he had a good game on Sunday against Denver. I think he's getting more comfortable every week, and he dropped some weight. He dropped about 15 pounds in the off season, so he's moving better. He looks quicker, and I think we're starting to see some of the old C.J. Mosley,
nice.
You know, for before, you know, maybe in his days with Baltimore. So he's been really one of the positives. There haven't been too many positives so far, but I would say he's been one.
And we're talking to Rich Cimini, ESPN, NFL Nation, Jets reporter. I guess when you're looking at positives, Quinnen Williams would and Sheldon Rankins, those guys up front, I think that would probably be an area where there's not too much disappointment as well, huh?
No, those guys are doing well. I mean, Quinnen got off to a slow start because he had foot surgery in the offseason and missed all of training camp. But you could see he had his first good game on Sunday. He had a sack and a half against Denver, and he's a very good player when he's healthy and in shape, and I think he's just right about there right now. And Rankins is a disruptive guy. You know, you'll see him. You won't see him a lot in the base defense, but when they're at nickel, you'll see him inside. He's a really disruptive interior guy. So between the two of them, they're fine. That's probably their strongest area on the team, is those two guys, you know, and so their defensive line is the best position on the team, and they're going to have to be on their game this week with Derrick Henry. I mean, this is
absolutely
a unique challenge for them that is going to really, really test them.
How has the vibe been overall for this team, right? You got a rookie head coach, the team is 0-3 and at historically bad levels. I mean, outscored 46-3 in the first half. How has the vibe been for this team? I mean, is Robert Saleh doing a good job of just, like, keeping everything together and not allowing the train to completely fall off the tracks?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a different vibe from last year because this is the third straight year the Jets have been 0-3. And it's it's a different. Last year was a different vibe because the fan base was sick of Adam Gase already at this point last year, and they wanted him gone. And there just seemed to be no hope there. There just seemed to be a really dark cloud over the organization. So even though they are doing some historically bad things here in the first three games, I think it's a different feel. Saleh is a very upbeat guy. He's a glass half full guy. And I think that has kept things, the energy alive around the building. The players seem to be, they're buying in. So I think, look, we knew coming into the year that the Jets were not going to be a playoff team. And no one was under any grand illusion that they were going to sneak into the playoffs. I picked them to go 5-12. I'm not sure they'll get to 5 right now, the way things are going. But I think people understand that this is the first year of a rebuilding process, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem like it's going to take some time. Offensively, Matt LaFleur calling the shots. I know, you know, you got the McVay ties and all of that. Offensively, is this a team that, you know, like you see the scheme and everything and how it's working? I mean, does that offer promise?
It's like a 49ers East. You know, it's basically the 49ers. You know, he's a Kyle Shanahan, you know, disciple, and, of course, a disciple of his brother as well. And so you're going to see a lot of pre-snap motion. They're among the league leaders in pre-snap motion. You're going to see play action, although we didn't see a lot of it on Sunday. I didn't think LaFleur had a good game on Sunday. They got away from the running game too soon. There was not much play action. And the thing that they have to get back to is, you know, how the 49ers, they love that designed rollouts, the bootlegs to get the quarterback on the move. That's something that Wilson does really well. And for some reason, that disappeared on Sunday in Denver. They didn't do any of that. So I would look for them to get back to that and try to run more of their, what this, the purest form of this offense. I think they're just going through an identity crisis right now on offense. I don't think they know who they want to be. So I think you'll see them getting back to some of their staples on Sunday.
Well, we shall see how it pans out. As you mentioned, Derrick Henry, I would obviously expect to see a whole lot of him with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown probably being out. So we'll take a look, man. I appreciate you popping on, Rich. I definitely let them know where they could check you out on social media. I think this is an excellent week for them to follow you.
Yeah, at Rich Cimini, it's Cimini. I have a Jets podcast. It's called Flight Deck. You can get it anywhere get your podcasts. And look forward to seeing you in the press box on Sunday.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Rich.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. So that was Rich Cimini on the Jets. Man, I tell you, there's a lot to digest from that. But, hey, I mean, as we get into this week, it's going to be a great matchup. As I said, a great opportunity for the Titans to get another win on the road in New York. Well, New Jersey. But you know what I meant. Shout out to Rich Cimini coming on. Shout out to Chris Sanders. Appreciate you. Definitely make sure you check out ESPN.com, the Titans page. We have multiple things on A.J. Brown. We got a look at Derrick Henry and his charitable work. And don't forget Whiteboard Wednesday, man. Took a look at how could make Zach Wilson believe that the pressure's there when it may not be, and rush or throw and get an interception. So make sure you check that out. I am Teron Davenport for Elijah Campbell. We appreciate each of you tuning in. God bless and good night.